morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Well, guys, it's the day of the rose pruning demonstration. And Bill, I don't know if you're doing double duty being here on the radio and also on the field with the master gardeners at the municipal rose garden there at Memorial Park.
I am scheduled for this afternoon, yes.
So the rose pruning demonstration is going to be going on until 3 o'clock today and then again tomorrow from noon to 3 at the Rose Garden there at Memorial Park. But today is also the day where if you ordered roses from the Master Gardeners, if you didn't write this on your calendar, today is the day you need to go pick up those roses, right?
Exactly. The rose sale pickup was actually yesterday all day and then this morning till noon. And all the customers receive their pickup times. And the location is at the El Paso Garden Center. That's at 3105 Grant Avenue. And it's just down the street from the Rose Garden. So we really encourage folks to pick up their roses and then drive over to the Rose Garden, visit with the Master Gardeners, and learn about some pruning techniques.
And again, we had talked about rose pruning in past shows, and you can listen to some of those past shows in case you missed them at ktep.org. And, you know, I think we can get people to download them on their through iTunes, so you can listen to it in the car while you are driving to the rose pruning demonstration.
There you go.
So again, go to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org to listen to some of those past shows. And we are going to also be promoting something happening next weekend, which is also really important. The Master Gardeners are going to be taking part in the home show at the convention center.
Yes, it's the El Paso Home and Garden Expo. And each year, the Master Gardeners have a booth out there answering all of your gardening related questions. We encourage the public to bring their photos or even a sample of their plants if they have any questions, and we'll have plenty of gardeners on hand to be able to help them, guide them, give them some advice and some information and some take-home pamphlets for their garden ventures.
And you guys are going to be hosting a number of talks and demonstrations during those 3 days, March 1st through the 3rd.
Yes, we've been invited to give some talks on the main stage, and as well, we'll also have some smaller talks going on at the Master Gardener booth as well. And they'll kind of flip-flop, so we won't be doing double duty. So we're not. If you don't catch us on the stage, we'll be at the Master Gardener booth. And those topics are going to range from earthkind principles. Those are our xeric, our water conservation landscape methods that we really encourage. We'll also have a rainwater harvesting demonstration and a talk. This will be actually your first opportunity to hear some vegetable talks, particularly on tomatoes.
And as we were talking about last week during our February tips show, March is really when you want to be thinking about vegetables. And again, as we get closer to the date, you're going to be hosting a vegetable gardening workshop here very soon that we'll be talking about more later.
Right,
in
exactly.
The coming shows.
One other thing at the home show, we'll actually have, in addition to our smaller stage, our information table, we'll also have a little kids activity area. So we really encourage homeowners, parents that have questions about gardening to bring their entire family over, and they can really engage and participate with a little small gardening activity with their kids, and they'll be able to take home whatever little activity that they do, whether that's planting seeds in a small styrofoam cup or painting a garden, a river stone, a rock.
I think most of us have this memory of in school, I don't even remember what class it was,
right.
But we had our little styrofoam cup and we had our little bean seed and we were trying to sprout our little bean pod and we had it there on our windowsill. And I think once it sprouted, I think it ended up in the garbage.
Right.
I think that was most people's introduction to gardening. But we hope that for your kids that it doesn't stop there.
Right.
That the kids' corner that you'll have there at the home show is going to hopefully spark something in your kids' imagination.
Yeah, it's
going to make them want to get their fingers dirty, but in a good way, right?
Yeah,
right.
It's really inspired me.
I'd like to just encourage everybody. Those talks that we give at the home show are very well received. I think we just get a lot of great feedback. So they usually last about 20 to 25 minutes, and it's just a great way to sit down at the home show and learn something.
Right. But this is a really good chance also for you to corner a master gardener if you've got a plant problem. You know, go to the Home and Garden Expo, take a sample of your plant problem with you or a photo or just get a really good description and just talk to them about it. I mean, we're going to have a live show next week where you can actually ask Bill and Denise questions on the air, but if you are there in front of them with a picture or a sample of a plant on March 1st through 3rd at the convention center, that's all the better.
Well, and I'd like to say, I think the economy overall has been improving, and I think there are a lot of people in the trades have told me that business is good, and so there should be a lot of activity at the home show this year. Come early and stay as long as you can.
Right. And check the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. I'm going to be posting their schedule of the workshops and the demonstrations that are going to be taking place at the home show that the Master Gardeners are going to be taking part in. So make sure you check out ktep.org. Well, we have some questions that you have been receiving through the Master Gardener hotline. Right. And most of them, I think you were saying, Bill, that they tend to sort of lean towards the weather is warming up. What do I need to do to prepare?
Well, and it's amazing what these 70-degree days and 45-degree nights do to people, but it completely changes people's attitudes. So they really do start thinking about their garden. We've gotten a number of interesting calls. The activity has increased dramatically. 566-1276 will get you a good Master Gardener answer for whatever questions you had. But we did have an interesting question about chill hours, which I'd like to get Denise to expand on a little bit, because I didn't really know the definition of a chill hour, and so I've done some research and I'd like to hear Denise's description. It's a very interesting process, and it primarily pertains to stone fruit.
Right, exactly. And temperatures. And usually chill hours are calculated. It also depends what formula you're going to use. But in general, what you want to do is you want to calculate the number of hours a plant is exposed to a certain range of temperatures. In this case, it's about 32 degrees to 45 degrees Fahrenheit. And the amount of exposure to these hours are going to be cumulative. So you'll be able to gather these chill hours. Theoretically, once that chill hour requirement has been met, then they'll be able to bloom and be able to set fruit. In our area, we usually accumulate our chill hours quite quickly because we have a large time where the temperatures are fairly cold and we're accumulating these hours, and then all of a sudden we have our peach trees that are blooming. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, the risk for that is that if we're still under our frost state, if we're still able to reach that frost state, a lot of times we get that cold freeze and it sets our plants back. So the blooms drop, the leaves drop, and the plant is pretty much stunted, and your yield or your fruits for that year are going to be considerably less. Because we don't live in an area where we have a lot of orchard production, chill hours are not that easy to track in our area, because we need to use the local climate data for that, as opposed to our other crops where we have a lot of the data that we're able to access right. that from weather stations. So it is right. kind of tricky to look at. We can certainly expand on any particular questions, and because it really depends on the cultivar of the plant that you're using. Right. But that's just a basic chill hours 101 on where to get started and what that actually means for us.
So if you see blossoms on your peach tree and we get cold weather and they start to fall, that's just part of the unfortunate process of a late freeze or just very cold temperatures that may come and cause a little bit of damage or delay to your fruit production.
Right, exactly.
But the key there is the 32 degrees, though, isn't it? It's not
right.
just cold temperatures, it's
exactly.
32.
Exactly. It's with that particular arrangement. You don't get extra credit if it gets really cold on right. that. So that's important to say, well, back in 2011, it got really, really cold. Well, yeah, but that doesn't really matter. It's that particular range.
And really, I did some additional research, and it says that the temperatures between like 40 and 43 are the most ideal. So needless to say, we don't have any control over that, but that's what the plant likes the best. Those and all those cultivars need slightly different amounts of chill hours. Right. So it's a good thing to be aware of, but it's from what I've learned, Denise, it's just hard to measure. So it's hard to say if you're buying an apricot, you need 500 hours of chill hours. It's hard to determine that because nobody calculates that around here.
It's very
and it's
difficult.
Also hard to control. I mean, you might need so many chill hours for your particular cultivar, but that doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Right.
Right. And that's why we don't have much. We don't have orchard production because for that same reason, we just don't meet the requirements of most cultivars. Is that a true statement?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I think in our crops such as pecan that we have, we use another formula. It's called growing degree days. And that's a function of your maximum temperature of the day. So not just pecans, but a lot of the large-scale row crops are used to calculate by growing degree days. And believe it or not, insects are also managed by the growing degree days, too.
Huh.
Very, very sensitive to the climate. So there's a lot of things going on that we don't realize, but I just hope that kind of answers people's questions of what happens when it freezes and my peach tree is in full bloom.
Right.
And then, you know, we've got, unfortunately, climate change is happening everywhere. You're seeing, you know, in Florida where they have the citrus crops, where I'm sure that's down to an exact science, that the chill hours, they're experiencing issues with either temperatures that are too cold or temperatures that may be too warm. So even that is, it's no guarantee that whatever crop you may have, whether if you have an orchard, not necessarily in this region, obviously, but there's no guarantee that
right now
you're going to get a whole lot of production and it could be pretty disastrous economically.
Exactly.
It's tough being a farmer. It really is. And now we've added the real problem of water in this area that I've heard people say that this really could turn into a disaster for our farmers around here. They've cut back so much. They're drawing so much from their wells. And then by that, they pull up more salty water, which causes additional problems. So it's a real problem.
And I haven't heard any projections as to what the release schedule is going to be this year for farmers in El Paso or in New Mexico.
I haven't heard either. Minimal, though.
I guess
it's for minimal.
Mm-hmm. But it's never too early for homeowners to start thinking about water conservation. We're very lucky. We're really ahead of the curve when it comes to water conservation. We see the natural resource so differently from others in the state or in our region because we don't have that luxury of the water or the natural rainfall. So I really think that El Pasoans are really in tune to what's going on, but there's always certain improvements that we can do, and that certainly has to do with your plant selection and how you run your irrigation system and how much turf grass to put into that. So all of those things just tie into the educational resources that we have and that we provide to the community to be able to understand those concepts, where we're at, and how we can still live in a really nice environment but really be stewards of our land.
And one of the educational resources that you provide is the Master Gardener Hotline.
That's
and that's
right.
Something that people can call at any time. Even if there's not a live Master Gardener on the other end of the phone, go ahead and leave a message and they will call you back. That number is 566-1276, 566-1276. And as you've heard, Bill, you guys get a variety of questions on a wide range of topics. So even if you think that maybe your question may be far-ranging, it doesn't hurt to ask.
It doesn't hurt, and it's actually good for us because we get to do some additional research and then share it on the radio with you.
566-1276. That's the Master Gardener Hotline. We also have some links available for you on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org if you want to learn more. And those were provided to us also from the Texas AgriLife Extension. And you'll have links there to the Master Gardeners in case you're interested in learning more. So thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.